give him praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. God, I give you my praise. I give you my worship. You are so worthy, God. God, you are so worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. If this is your first time here this morning, or if this is your first time watching online, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're worshiping with us on a beautiful Sunday morning. We have a little card. It's a connection card. If you didn't receive one, they're in the back by the kiosk. And if you could just fill that out, we'd appreciate it. Lets us know a little bit about you. And we have a little something for you if you could fill that out. A couple quick announcements as we get going here. If when it comes to giving options, we're still using, there's a plexiglass box, clear plastic box in the back, and also you can see some things on the screen here, some ways to give. If you want to give via text, just mark it on your text what that is, type it in. And then a couple other announcements. This Wednesday night, we have a special speaker coming. Brother Lenny Smith is coming back, and he's going to be speaking to us and sharing their burden, so we're excited to have him back on Wednesday night. And then Saturday the 31st, so that's a couple weeks from now, Saturday the 31st is a work day, but let's get excited about that too. It's a work day, but we need volunteers to help get the grounds ready for Summer Fun Fest, and so the work day is 8 a.m. to noon. Yeah, so Summer Fun Fest, hold your applause for that one, okay? Summer Fun Fest, because Brother Slido's going to be sharing that in just a minute, but Summer Fun Fest, so this is preparing for that, and the volunteers are needed from 8 a.m. to noon on the 31st. If you want to get more information or you want to get plugged into that, contact Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry, wave your hand. Everybody knows. If you don't know Brother Jerry and you want to volunteer, find him after service. But Summer Fun Fest then is August 1st. And I'm not going to steal Brother Seidel's thunder. Brother Seidel, can you come up and share about Summer Fun Fest?
Ready? Summer Fun Fest. Amen. August 1st, 10 a.m. service, and after service, we're going to go outside for worship, for food and fun. While we're worshiping here, they're going to go out for food and fun. It's also going to be our All Nations Sunday celebration with our special speaker, Pastor Fabian Martinez, pastor of Voces Unidas. There will be a picnic on the grounds and a car show after service. For the kids, there will be inflatables, there will be a sand pit, and there will be, I'm changing it to water games, not a water fight, water games, okay? We'll have sports, wiffle ball. How many have ever played wiffle ball before? You can do some crazy things with those plastic balls. Volleyball, basketball, and say it with me, football. There you go, that's right. Otherwise known as soccer with the American language. Amen. Summer Fun Sunday, All Nations Sunday, August 1st, 10 a.m. Brother, and we're going to hopefully have with us in service Brother Lomax's church, AIM, Voces Unidas, and possibly the Madison Salvation Church of God, the Hmong Church. So hopefully all of that will come together. We're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord. We're going to have tacos. All different kinds of tacos. And you'll hear more about that, but it's going to be a variety, and you get to eat and eat and eat and play. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Can we all stand? Lord God, I thank you, Jesus, for this day. God, I thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your presence, God. Lord, to draw closer to you, Jesus, today. Lord, I don't want any distractions, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you would move in this place. Open every eye and every heart, Jesus, God. No matter what we're going through, Jesus, great or small, God, you can handle it, Jesus. And I pray that you would just move in this place, Lord God. The singing, the preaching, whatever it is, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God, you're worthy, Jesus.
This world will never satisfy the longing in my soul. When all is lost and hope is right, when all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. 'Cause there's a hunger your presence, 'cause there's a hunger and a thirst. Oh, I am desperate. Immerse me. I'm not waiting, not anymore. Oh, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
I feel it burning like a fire, stronger than before. You are the one that I desire. I couldn't ask for more. I'm coming back to your presence.
Continue to worship. Thank you, Jesus. We want the Holy Spirit to break out. We want the walls to come down. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, or your tablet or your phone or your whatever you have. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to do to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'd like to speak this morning on, yes, I know Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together again in Jesus' name. We ask, oh God, for your blessing, your anointing in this place, not this building, but upon every heart, every soul, every individual who's here in this house, and everyone, oh God, who receives this message, this service online. You are able, oh God, to be in all places at all times. I pray, God, give this word life in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. Anoint me, O God, for your purpose, and let each of us receive your word according to your will in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. For I know whom I have believed, Paul said. He is writing during his second imprisonment, according to most people's understanding, likely among some of his last writings, as far as we know. And he is, I don't know if any of you have ever been arrested. I don't want to know if any of you have ever been arrested or have ever been in jail. But it is a humiliating thing. And for Paul, especially being a religious leader, he was held in chains. He was brought into a place where his movements were restricted. His first imprisonment, evidently he had a lot of liberty, but his second imprisonment, by most understanding, was a little more severe, probably under the Emperor Nero. And he probably was having a very hard time of it. As a matter of fact, in some of his letters, he wrote about how much alone he was, and he was asking even just for a cloak to be brought to him. But he said, all that I am dealing with and all I have been put under, I am not ashamed of who I know. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. I have been stopped on the road for driving too fast. And I know that feeling. I've actually driven past other people who have been stopped on the road. And sometimes you can even see the redness of their face because they're so embarrassed that here I am and everybody driving by is looking at me. And I have to admit I was ashamed. But Paul, suffering much greater stress, much greater difficulty, still was pleased, still was proud, still was happy to stand up for the one he knew. I'm persuaded, he said. I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. A little later in that same letter, 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Amen. Do you feel like you will love the appearing of Jesus Christ? Do you feel like you're ready to be offered this morning? That you have finished your course. I must admit, I feel there's much I have yet to do to finish my course. But I do want to be ready for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is coming. Paul was pretty sure that he was going to be executed. And he knew what that meant. I've heard people talk about their faith in terms of, I know I'm going to heaven. I have such faith that I'm going to be in heaven. My faith is not in heaven. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Paul was not talking about his accomplishments. Paul was not talking about his education or his, all of these things were great in his case. But he said, I'm going to heaven not because of all of these things, but because I know Jesus. For I know whom I have believed. He was ready for heaven. Why was he able to be so sure? Why did Paul have such faith? The Amplified Version, I want to read from 2 Timothy 1 again. In the Amplified Version says this, and this is why I am suffering as I do. Still I am not ashamed, for I know, perceive, have knowledge of, am acquainted with him whom I have believed, adhered to and trusted in and relied on. And I am positively persuaded that he is able to guard and keep that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed to him until that day. Paul was personally acquainted with his Savior. He knew Jesus Christ and what he would do and could do. He knew what had been promised to him. And he knew what Jesus would do on his behalf. In John 14, Jesus told his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for him, for them. And Philip spoke up and said, Lord, just show us the Father and we'll be confident and we'll know, we'll be sure. And Jesus turned and spoke to him and said, have I been with you for so long a time and you still don't know who I am? He said, if you know me, you know the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Our pastor is teaching a series on how Jesus taught the disciples and how we need to be willing to have teaching and to receive teaching. We've heard a teaching about teach us to pray. We heard this morning teaching about the parables. But here in John 14, Jesus is trying to make some final points. He's trying to teach some of the most important things in his whole ministry. He wants his disciples to understand who he is. His disciples, he knows, will need more than what they have already obtained, as evidenced by the fact that Philip hasn't quite gotten it yet. You're going to need more. How many of you feel like you need more? John 14, 24, Jesus said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. That in itself, we could stop there. If everyone got a hold of that, that might be enough. If you don't keep his sayings, you do not love him. And the word which you hear is not mine, Jesus said, but the Father's which sent me. I'm not speaking as a man. He was saying it's the Spirit of the living God that's speaking through me. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I'm with you in the flesh. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. What's the name? In the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's why the name of Jesus is so important in water baptism. He shall teach you all things. Who? The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost working in us. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. And he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Praise God. The first step, Pastor talked about it this morning. It's not enough just to receive the teaching. We have to do what God's word says. Must be obedient. The Bible even goes so far as to say that God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Amen. But the really neat thing is that he continues to teach us in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus is on the scene. Jesus is walking and talking and teaching and performing miracles. And word about his ministry has spread. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. This is a little earlier in his ministry. Luke 9:7 says, now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead. This is during the Galilean ministry. And by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. Herod, the Tetrarch, one of the rulers in Palestine at the time, was sitting on his throne, I suppose, or somewhere in his castle or his comfortable digs, and he said, you know, I'd like to see this Jesus. I've heard a lot about him. And I think he was a little worried that it was John the Baptist come back to life. But it's clear that he really did not know who Jesus was. He did not know him. He had only heard about him. He sought to see him. Way back before I knew Jesus, in the 1970s, I became enamored of a certain popular rock band. But this band was so big, and they had such big crowds, and they had such a big production, that they, whenever they came to the United States, they never stopped in Madison. They stopped in Milwaukee. But I was a poor student on the UW campus, and I couldn't afford to go to Milwaukee for a concert. And I had their albums, I had their music. It was my Friday afternoon routine. I wanted to see them, but I never could. Finally, in 1988, during the Another Lapse tour, they finally came to Madison and had a huge extravaganza of a concert at Camp Randall Stadium. Of course, by that time, I was living for God, so I wasn't going to see him anymore. But I wanted to see them. But I never saw them in person. Never heard them. Never watched the fingers of the lead guitarist roll across those strings. Amen. All the guitarists said amen. I have the calluses, but I don't have the talent. So I wanted to see them. This word, he wanted to see them. It's more or less in this, it has two different meanings. It can be applied two different ways, but in this context, it's talking about like looking on a specimen almost, like watching a to inspect something or examine something, to evaluate it just by looking at it, to behold it. This is what Herod wanted to do. He didn't want to know Jesus. He just wanted to evaluate him. He wanted to see him. He wanted to measure him. He wanted to weigh him. I'm afraid to say that too many people today have the same attitude towards Jesus Christ. They don't want to know the living God. They want to have their sins forgiven. They want to evaluate Jesus and find out whether he's worthy of their attention or not. I hope that by the time you leave today, by the time I'm done with this message, that something has been stirred up in your heart that you want to know Jesus. Know him better. Know him more. Too many people have only seen Jesus from a distance. I'm asking you this morning, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? He was perplexed. This means that he was at a loss. He was totally at a loss about who Jesus was. He had no clue. He just had heard the stories. That's why he was asking, and he was given other people's information. Well, maybe he's Elijah. Maybe he's one of the old prophets. He might be John the Baptist again. That's bad information. Don't get your information about Jesus Christ from somebody else. Get it from Jesus himself. Get it from the Word of God. Get it from the Holy Spirit. Yes, we preach the word. Yes, we teach the word, but it comes from the word of God. Yes, I know Jesus. He had three different reports that came to his ears, and he could not determine which one he wanted to accept. But he really did not want to know Jesus. We can't rely on the reports of others. Interestingly enough, a little while later, Jesus asked the question of his disciples. Look at verse 18 of Luke 9. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. And he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" So they answered and said, same thing, different order. "John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say one of the old prophets has risen again." One of the old prophets. I like that. I didn't ever caught that before. One of the old prophets. Or maybe in one place it refers to Jeremiah in the same phrase, the weeping prophet. One of those old prophets, one of those prophets that we heard about when we were kids in Sunday school. One of those old prophets that we think they were real, but they're kind of like legends in our mind. It's kind of like the crisis we're experiencing in our world today in the United States. They talk about the founding fathers as if they didn't really exist. We have forgotten what the principles of the founding fathers, what they gave us in the Constitution. And none of that matters anymore because we're smarter and better than they are today. That's how it was being handled in that place. They had added to the Word of God. They were teaching, Jesus said, teaching for the Word of God, the teachings of men. One of those old prophets. You know, maybe you've heard people say it. Well, Jesus was a good teacher. Like somehow they're giving you a biscuit to make you feel better about your God. Well, I think he might have been a prophet. Jesus was more than just some old prophet. He was more than a great teacher. And they likened him to Elijah, the prophet of fire. Because that's what a lot of them wanted. They wanted someone to come on the scene and call down heaven upon the Roman government. They were looking for something spectacular. Sounds a little bit like a Pentecostal, doesn't it? I believe in signs and wonders and miracles. I believe in healing. I believe we need to see more healing. I believe God, I like what was preached at camp. God, show us your glory. But it's so people will know Jesus. So people will know Jesus. Praise God. They wanted somebody spectacular like Elijah to stand up for them. Hey, I'm not sure that Jesus is going to stand up in the face of government. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Yikes. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Even if he doesn't come as a prophet of fire, do you know Jesus? Even if he doesn't destroy the evil in the world today, do you know Jesus? This is what many expected of Jesus. The prophet who would destroy the Baals, the prophet who would destroy the Roman government. And then the most recent example they came up with was John the Baptist. John the revivalist. John the movement leader. John the Baptist said, "I'm not even worthy to untie the latchet of his shoe." But there were many that were part of the movement. It's a good feeling to be part of the movement. I want to read something. This is semi-political, okay? Assistant Professor Deborah Friedman and Professor Doug McAdam of the University of Arizona bluntly declare, a lot of words here, the collective identity, everyone say identity, the collective identity of social movement organization is a shorthand designation announcing a status. What's that mean? That means by identifying with the movement, you gain personal status. A set of attitudes, commitments, and rules for behavior. Anybody heard about rules for behavior lately outside of the Word of God? For those who assume the identity can be expected to subscribe to. They continue. It is also an individual announcement of affiliation, of connection with others. To partake of a collective identity is to reconstitute the individual self around a new and valued identity. What movement are you identifying with? Where's your identity coming from? I want to identify with Jesus Christ. I want to know him. I want him to live in me. I want people to recognize Jesus. I don't want to identify even necessarily with an organization. I don't want to be identified by a social movement. I don't want to be identified by a political movement. I don't even want to be identified by a religious movement. I want to be identified by the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. These were comparisons to other men. Jesus is not just another man. They did not know who Jesus was. More than a prophet, more than a great leader, more than a great teacher, more than a leader of a religious sect, more than a leader of a revolution, more than a leader of a social movement, more than a leader of a religious movement. He was God manifest in the flesh. Yes, I know Jesus. But Jesus asked Peter a very important question. In verse 20, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." This is like an oral exam. How many of you have had an oral exam? My first oral exam was in Spanish class in junior high in ninth grade. Up until that time, everything was written. And when you're writing, you have time to think about it and erase it and scratch it out and start over, whatever you're doing. But when you have to give an oral exam, you have to give the answer like now. So I had to memorize all this Spanish, and then I was gonna, and I didn't know what she was going to question me, and I had to have the right answers in another language. I was scared witless. It's a whole different animal. This is an oral exam. Jesus said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" "I've been teaching you for 3 years. What have you learned? Have you learned the most important thing? Do you know who I am? Do you know Jesus this morning?" We're all going to have to answer that question one day. It's our final exam. It's a final exam. Who is Jesus to you? The day will come when that is going to determine your eternity. Who's Jesus to me? We had better know who Jesus is. And in order to do that, we need to get to know him personally. Peter knew Jesus better than most. Maybe better than any. And his answer was correct. "You are the Christ of God. The anointed one." That's what that means. Messiah. He had that much right. Now, we find out as we go on in the scripture that Peter didn't know what that all meant. But he had that much figured out. You're the Christ. All right, Peter, you got that right. Jesus told the woman at the well, If only you knew who you were talking to. I would give you more than just water to drink. I would give you water and spiritual life for eternity. Philip said, "Show us the Father." Jesus said, "All this time." Jesus said so many things about himself. He said that he came to seek and save that which is lost. He said he had come that we might have life more abundantly. He said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He said he was the bread of life. Above 40 times in the King James Version, Jesus used that phrase, "I am," to describe himself, including the 8 times in which he used the "I am" to describe himself in terms that related back to God revealing himself to Moses in the Old Testament. Jesus went out of his way to reveal to his believers, to his followers, who he was. I am. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." He said, "I am the good shepherd." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Listen to this. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." "I am the true vine," Jesus said, "and my Father is the vine dresser." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him because they knew what he was saying. Praise God. Herod, all of the people, and Peter, they all related to Jesus differently according to how they knew him. Their faith, listen to this. Their faith was based on their understanding of who Jesus was. And so is ours. Our ability to believe for healing may depend on our relationship with Jesus Christ, because our faith is based on how we relate to him. Our ability to pray for others is perhaps limited sometimes because of what we think about what God will do, because of our relationship with him. Yes, I know Jesus. Their faith was based on their relationship with him, and so is ours, because that's where our expectations come from. How do you know Jesus this morning? How do I know Jesus this morning? What is our relationship with him? Are you standing afar off? Is it sometime you want to get close to him like Herod? Sometime you want to get to know him? Sometime you want to examine him and see if it's worth your time and energy? Are you expecting him to do some spectacular thing in your life before you surrender your heart to him? Is he part of our lives? Or is he the center of our lives? Oh, praise God. Do we know him? Not only do we need to know him, he needs to know us. And that's talking about, look at Matthew 7, 21. And I'm closing. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Let me say that again. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That sounds like he's preaching works. No, I'm not. I'm reading the Word of God. And not only that, I'm reading the words of Jesus Christ. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Sounds like a good Christian to me. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's stand. I want to know Jesus, but I want Jesus to know me. It's not just what I have in my head. We can read every book and speak doctrine and explain Christology and tie the Old Testament to the New Testament, and we can have every bit of knowledge there is, but if we don't have a right relationship with Him, and if He hasn't accepted us by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the name of Jesus Christ, if He hasn't filled us with His Holy Spirit, then we don't really know Him and He doesn't know us. We must have a mutual relationship with the living God based on the revelation of who Jesus is. You know, when Herod said, I want to see Him, that's the same word in the Greek that we read in our text in 2 Timothy. When he said, I know whom I have believed. It's the same word. But if you do a little research, you find out it's the context in the form of the language that determines the meaning. So Herod used the same terminology, or at least it's recorded in the scripture with the same word as Paul, when Paul talked about knowing God, and Herod talked about seeing Jesus. So what is it for us? What is it in my life? Am I just, you know, you can come to a Pentecostal church and be part of a great move of God. You can be part of it. You can identify with Calvary Gospel Church and be glad to do so and receive great blessings. But we need to do more than identify with a movement. We need to do more than identify even with a church. We need to have a personal identity in Jesus Christ. Herod said, I'll go to church. I'll go and I'll see what's going on there. But Paul said, I'm gonna have a personal experience when I get there. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to give you an opportunity to come and pray at this time. If you don't know Jesus, and I'm talking about His Spirit living inside of you, I'm talking about having His name imprinted on your eternal soul through water baptism in Jesus' name. If you don't know Jesus, if you've let your relationship with Him dwindle, please come and pray. Come and let God meet with you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him personally. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you want to strengthen your faith this morning, if you want to know Him better, if you want to get closer to Him, come to Him. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Praise God. He wants to get close to you, and He wants you to get close to Him. He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him personally. Hallelujah. God has more for every one of us. The name of Jesus Christ is the name above every other name, and there is salvation in no other. We've got to know Him and identify with Him in Jesus' name.
I want to hear Your voice. I want to know You more than before. I want to touch You. I want to see Your face. I want You, Jesus. Jesus, more than before. More of you, Jesus, I want more. More of you, my Lord. Take me deeper than I've been before. And take me further, God, I long for more. Take me higher than I've been before. Jesus, I want more. Jesus, I need more. To know you, I want to hear your voice. I want to feel you more than before. I want to touch. I want to see your face. I want you, Jesus, more than before. More of you, Jesus, I want more. I want to hear your voice. I want to feel you. more than before. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want you, Jesus, more than
the Lord, church. Such a great, great presence in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Brother Seidel. Lord, yes, I know Jesus. Yes, I want to know him. And, we've been talking about teachability, listening. We talked about parables this morning. Brother Seidel talked about, yes, I know Jesus. I want to know him. We're going to be following this up. One of the ways to know him is how well we know him has everything to do with recognizing his voice in our lives. So this Wednesday, Brother Lenny Smith will be here, missionary to Antigua. He's no stranger here at Calvary Gospel Church. They'll be sharing their field of missions with us. The next Sunday we'll be following back into our series. So God bless you. Thank you, Brother Seidel. Thank you to our worship team and our praise team. Thank you so very much, Sister Abby. God bless you all. Have a very blessed day. Have a blessed week. We have VOSIS. Their service starts here in 55 minutes or so. Spanish, English bilingual service. Just remember that as we fellowship. They'll be in here in about 30 minutes getting prepared. So God bless you.